To all you mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. You're welcome. I just love it when people come up to me and say, happy Mother's Day, Father. It's always one of those things, though, where we try to find out what to get our mothers for Mother's Day. What is appropriate? I know I always struggled with this. And my mother, she's so wonderful. You know, I would make cards with terrible art because I have a hard time even making stick figures. And she would say, oh, this is so wonderful. Thank you, Vaughn. And all these wonderful things. But, you know, it's always one of these difficult things, especially since I don't live with my mom, what to get her. She doesn't really need anything. What to get my mother? Well, this year, I figured it out. My parents took me out for my birthday, and we went over to the mall for dinner. And on our way out, my mother said, oh, yeah, we need to stop at the kitchen store. We stopped in, and she was looking at a couple different things. And she said, oh, this is what I need. I says, do you need that immediately? I says, well, no. I says, then I'm getting it for you for Mother's Day. And I yanked it from her. Then she started looking at something else, and my father yanked that from her and said, no, that's your Mother's Day gift. So she's getting a couple things, which you're not going to be surprised with. But she's getting what she wants. She's getting what she wants. Plus, I'm going to be stopping in this afternoon, which is also a good thing, you know, for a mother to have her son come and visit. But we look at these things, and so often we give people things they may not want. Oh, thank you. I mean, the comics are replete with these things when you see the mother who's thinking about the terrible mess that the children are making, or the husband, as they're making breakfast for her in bed at 5:30 in the morning. And mom's just saying, oh, thank you. What I really want is for you to all go and let me sleep and not have to clean up after you. I remember back many years ago, we did this for school. We made coupon books for our parents. And in it said things like, I will clean my room. I will make my bed without being asked a second time. That type of thing. Hand me this and I will stop fighting with my sister. You know, those types of things. Well, you know, they were cute and I gave them to my mother. And I remember one time I was probably 13 or 14 years old and I was having an argument with my sister. And my mother came out with this. I said, Mom, that I should have put an expiration date on that. That was like 5 years ago I gave that to you. And she says, I don't care. Best Mother's Day gift ever. If any of you are looking for something you can give your mother. But anyways, we look and we say, what is it that is really wanted? And we can look to Almighty God and we say to Him, what do you want, God, from us? What do you want from us? So often we give God what we want. And he's a loving Father and He looks and sees what love it's given with and He says, oh, thank you. But do we ever ask God, what does He want? What does He want from us? The gospel today speaks a little bit to this. It says, Jesus is speaking to His disciples, aka us, we who are His disciples. He says, as the Father loves me, so I also love you. And that should blow our mind right there, just as an aside, that as much as God the Father loves the perfect Son of God in eternity forever and all ages, so He says that the Son now loves us who are so imperfect and broken and sinful. And He says, I love you that much. But then He goes on a little bit later to say, and this is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. So as much as the Father loves the Son so loves us, and now we are called to love one another. It's like Him handing us a coupon and saying, cut it out, stop fighting. Have you ever thought about that? That is how much we are called to love one another. And how much does God love us? Well, it's right there. Love is not some sort of amorphous feeling or just some wish. Love looks like something. And it looks like us pouring ourselves out for another. Love never turns in and says, "What about me?" Love doesn't say, "Well, I love you because you make me feel good, oh baby, baby." Love says, "I am pouring myself out for you. I give myself to you without counting the cost." One of my priest friends makes these mugs every Christmas, and he gives me usually gives me these mugs. And one of the mugs he gave me has a saying on it that says, "Love is the fidelity between ecstasies." Love is the fidelity between ecstasies. Think about that. What does that mean? That so often in love we have these passionate moments, these highs where, yes, I would swim over the largest ocean, I would climb the highest mountain for you, I would do all of that. But then we go into the normal everyday life of changing diapers and washing the kitchen floor and all the stuff that we have to do. And that doesn't really feel so good, having to take care of screaming babies. And that's where we're no longer in that ecstasy moment. Love is that fidelity where we are continue to be faithful even when there is no high point. Jesus didn't have no ecstasy when he was on the cross. And yet he was faithful to you and to me. Love is the fidelity between ecstasies. And so we look at this love and we say, this is what God is asking of us. And quite frankly, that love is impossible. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so we are called then to love with the love of Jesus. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. This is my commandment, not a suggestion, not a thought, maybe you should do this. This is my commandment, my new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. And if he commands us, he then gives us the ability. And so we have to love with his love, reaching out and asking Jesus for those people that we can't stand to reach out and to love with his love. We ask that he conform our hearts to his heart, that we may love with his love, and that when we come to this Mass and we worship Almighty God, it is his love that is worshiping God the Father that we then bring in for ourselves, that we participate in. All of these things are done in his heart, and the impossible becomes possible. Think about that person you can't stand. Think about that person that rubs you the wrong way. Think about that person that backbites you. Think about that person at work that has torn you apart so that they could get ahead. We are called to love them with that type of love. And it is in that love, by drawing on Jesus, that then we can reach out and say, "I will your good." Even when it don't feel good. Even when I'm not in the mood. I will your good. We look to our God this day and we ask him to give us that impossible gift. The gift of being able to love as he loves.